Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another Cultaholic Pictures video. My name is Jack, and I'm joined by, first of all, Ross. How are you? Look how happy he is.
I'm swell. How are you?
I'm all right. What's with your upbeat mood at the minute, Ross?
Everyone thought I was depressed on the podcast last week, so I'm going to be the exact opposite this week. I am fantastic. How are you guys?
I'm good. And Matthew, I'm joined by you as well. How are you?
I was fine, but to balance the scales, I think I'll be depressed for this episode.
I'll be somewhere in the middle. Now, obviously, Money in the Bank is approaching, and we have 9 pitches, 3 each. We're going to go around in a circle, beginning with Ross, I guess, then we'll go Matthew, then we'll go myself. And remember, of course, that golden rule, it's not what you think's going to happen, it's what you want to happen.
Hey! Catchphrases, yes!
So much banter going on right now. Now, I don't know if there's any other orders of business to talk about before we start. It's weird because on the podcast we normally have a bit of a enforced banter section, but I guess that's not why we're here. We're here to
get
down to business.
What have you had for breakfast today, guys?
I can't do this for a whole video. I've not had any breakfast yet, which is a shame. I should point out we are recording this in the morning earlier than we normally record the podcast. It's a bit like the Breakfast Club. I think I'm Molly Ringwald. Matthew, you look confused. Who are you in the Breakfast Club?
I'm Johnny Vaughan.
Okay.
The Big Breakfast Club.
And Ross, and, have you seen the
I've seen Big Breakfast, so I'll go Denise Van Outen.
Right.
Oh, good choice.
So I'm the only actual Breakfast Club character. Okay. Ross, if we could have your first pick for Money in the Bank, please. First pitch, even, for Money in
the
Bank.
I'm going obvious. I want Tamina to win so bad on Sunday. 10 years, it'll be on May the 24th since she made her main roster debut in the WWE. Since that time, she has won 1 main roster championship. That was a 24/7 title, so it doesn't even really count because it's not a real title. So Tamina to win, but I was thinking, how can Tamina win? And do you both follow Tamina on Instagram and or Twitter?
No.
Well, you're missing out on all of the banter because for some reason, Tamina does these wonderful green screen promos where she's like sort of in therapy. And she's like, oh, Tamina's so nice, but she's so angry at the same time. And Bailey makes her angry and stuff. And it's just, it's all kinds of banter and all kinds of funny and all kinds of wacky professional wrestling action. So they don't show these on SmackDown for some reason. So I'm going to take these promos she does on Twitter and on Instagram and bring them into the storyline. Bailey will lose the SmackDown Women's... I want Bailey to lose the SmackDown Women's Championship via Dr. Shelby getting involved in this matchup. Dr. Shelby will somehow help Tamina because that's who Tamina's been going to therapy to see. It's not been Tamina being the therapist and the client at the same time. Dr. Shelby's been there advising Tamina, who's been advising herself. So Dr. Shelby, harking back to that storyline where Sasha Banks and Bayley got sent to therapy because they're women. And Dr. Shelby lost his rag in that scene, didn't he? He screamed very loudly because we were laughing, weren't we? We were all laughing. We were all laughing, weren't we, when they completely missed the tone of the Sasha versus Bayley rivalry. Because we had Braun and Roman murdering each other. But they didn't have to go... That's besides the point anyway. But Dr. Shelby, because we all love Dr. Shelby when he's used correctly. And him as Tamina's manager coming out of Money in the Bank is a fantastic usage of a very talented therapist. So there's my pitch. Dr. Shelby somehow screwing Bailey for ruining his life a couple of years ago and then going on to manage Tamina, and all kinds of banter will happen in the months and years to come.
What's Dr. Shelby's motivation? Has he always secretly hated Bailey and Sasha?
It stems from that segment where Sasha and Bailey went to the therapist, where to Dr. Shelby's thing, and he screamed at them. I don't know, I can't remember what. Were they just shouting back and forth, and he was like, quiet, or something like that? I can't remember what it was. But it all stems from that. He pissed them off. They pissed him off so bad that he's come back for revenge many years later.
I think I like it, to be honest, as a pitch. Even though I don't want Tamina to win, you've given a good reason, and I've got no major issues with it. The one thing it has reminded me of is how much I've never hated Kurt Angle more than in that storyline. Because he just wouldn't let them wrestle each other like he would any other.
He always used to say on Raw, didn't he? There's one way we like to do business here on Raw, and that's settle our business in the ring, unless you're Bailey and Sasha. But I know why you don't want Tamina to win. It's because you haven't seen these promo packages. I don't know why they're not part of SmackDown. Tamina's got banter. She's funny. And they don't let this be seen on SmackDown. She just needs to be serious, and it makes no sense to me. Tamina's a gift to this world.
It's a yes, a cautious yes from me. Matthew, what do you think?
I like the idea of Dr. Shelby being involved because he is a key worker. He will be allowed to work, so that's good strategy there from Ross.
I thought of that, yeah.
However, I hope during this whole fiasco of being stuck inside that I become a smart enough person to figure out if Ross is being ironic or not. He's talking about Tamina.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm definitely not, no. The Tamina train is pulling out the station for the second time. It started at Elimination Chamber 2019, then stop. It hit the bricks when Sasha and Bailey won the tag team titles, and now it's full steam ahead again.
But if
Electric
a train
boogaloo,
if a train hits something like that and derails, it doesn't get back on the track, Ross.
It does after many months of restructuring work. It's been in the place where Thomas and his friends live, and workmen have
the
been
the island
going
of soda. Okay, you know what? I like the idea of seeing how bad WWE can get during this period, just to make sure anyone's watching. So I approve of Tamina Snuka winning. She looks amazing for someone who's been on the roster for 10 years with 14 years experience. Yes. Tamina winning the title would mean good things for certain video series on YouTube. So absolutely, thumbs up for me.
Well, Ross has got off to a flying start there, suggesting that Tamina should win.
We're going to keep him happy, by the way. So.
Yeah.
Ross can't hear this, but make sure you say yes to everything he says, no matter how bad it
okay.
is. All right, carry on, Jack.
Matthew, what is your first pitch for Money in the Bank?
Oh, I'm happy to be on the pitches video series again. I'd just like to remind you that I do talk a lot of crap, but last time I was on this show, I did suggest CGI skeletons at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah,
the
of
intro
course
package, Kofi Kingston did fight CGI skeletons. Just saying. So after this, I'll be doing the lottery numbers. So on Money in the Bank, there is a SmackDown Tag Team title match. It's a four-way match between The New Day, Miz and Morrison, Hey Hey Ho Ho, Forgotten Sons, and Lucha House Party. And this isn't so much of a pitch as it is a request, really. With the Usos out of action, due to Jimmy or Jay, who cares, injury, the SmackDown tag scene needs someone new for New Day to wrestle 24 times a month. So can it please, please, please be Lucha House Party instead of Forgotten Sons? And I appreciate WWE's commitment to recycling rubbish. It's very good for the planet. But instead of the ICW knockoffs filling the TV broadcast with their very boring, we're a bit like Dad's Army bits, can we please have the consistently entertaining Kalisto, Lince Dorado, and Grand Metalik actually get a push, considering they have momentum because they had that great Performance Elimination Chamber match the other month, and the only reason Forgotten Sons have any momentum is because the Earth rotates. And that's the pitch.
I'm shocked. I'm really shocked that someone else is wanting Lucha House Party to win this match instead of me. It's obviously a yes from me because Lince Dorado is involved. I'm really flabbergasted. I can't believe it.
Flabbergasted.
I was just thinking that this match might involve like third parties, because obviously the Forgotten Sons have got Jackson Ryker. The Lucha House Party have got Kalisto, I think, at the minute, is the one not in the regular tag team. The New Day have obviously got Woods waiting to come back from injury. But then I thought, who would Miz and Morrison get in to be their third?
Monroe Sky.
Yeah, Monroe Sky. She could come along.
Mercury,
yeah, of course.
Melina. Oh.
And then become MMM.
Yeah. Start coming out to Hanson. That would be fantastic. Yeah, it's a yes from me, Matthew. I'm surprised. I think if I pitched that, the ridicule would have been never-ending, but I like it.
Because you're a Chikara fanboy, everyone knows that.
Ross, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm a bit worried that the Forgotten Sons are going to win. I don't find them entertaining in the slightest. I understand we need heels in the professional wrestling. They do note for me. Yeah, so yeah.
Oh, I've just remembered something.
What?
Right, so I don't know when this goes out, if our predictions for Money in the Bank are going to have gone out yet. I don't know when they're scheduled to go out, but...
let's assume they are.
Okay, well, in my pick for Bayley versus Tamina, I say that, and I was encouraged to say this by Owen. I'm not being a mean person, but I do say that Ross would be a coward if he didn't pick Tamina to win the match.
Because, I do pick Tamina.
Do you pick Tamina? Oh, that's fine then. That's
of course
right.
I do.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, sorry, I've got that out of the way now. So it's a yes from
you're
me.
You're a coward if you don't pick the thing you like.
Ross, what do you think of Matthew's pitch? Sorry about that little aside there.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Again, I want to see more character from the Lucha House Party. They were funny at Elimination Chamber. I don't know if Matthew was being serious when he said great performance or whatever he said earlier on.
Deadly serious. They had a hell of a performance at Elimination Chamber.
There was a lot of mistakes though, weren't there? Lynch nearly died. His leg nearly fell off.
Yeah, he nearly dies twice a day just answering the phone. It's fine. Come on, man.
Right, yeah. Just more. Let them do more. There's a lot of people you can say that about on the SmackDown and Raw roster and WWE roster for that matter. But yeah, just let them do more. So yeah, why the hell not?
Yeah, fair enough. Oh, it's going really well.
The disgustingly positive pitch video continues. Jack, what have you got for us?
I'm going to go for kind of a dual pitch that takes into account the results of two matches. So I'm going to say that on one hand, right, this might be a bit controversial, but I think that Bray Wyatt should beat Braun Strowman to win back the Universal Championship. Now, I know that that's a match that, like, whoever loses is really... It's a bad matchup because the loser is going to look like a massive loser. But I think that Bray should win, which is bad for Strowman, but never mind. And then I think that Aleister Black should win Money in the Bank, go over to SmackDown, and then cash in on Bray in some weird kind of mashup of the Firefly Funhouse match and the Boneyard match. Some kind of hellish, dreamlike cinematic match, and that can be WWE's next big production. And I think that Aleister Black should probably win and become the main eventer that he should be. Because I'm sure, when people get called up from NXT and everyone's like, oh no, they're going to get ruined on the main roster or they're going to lose all their momentum. There were two people I thought that wouldn't happen to. Ricochet, which was foolish in hindsight, and Aleister Black, I thought he's going to be like Balor. They're going to chuck him straight in the main event scene. But they never did. So I think this is the way to kind of remedy that. Have Wyatt win the belt, have Aleister Black win Money in the Bank, head over to SmackDown and do a big old dark cinema masterpiece over there. So that's my pitch. Thoughts?
I like it. Do you have any suggestions on what the dark cinema masterpiece would be?
Just some kind of mashup of the Firefly Funhouse and the Boneyard match, because it needs the dark aspect and the fire and all that, so and the creaky noise when he sits up on his tombstone, and but then also you need a bit more of the Firefly Funhouse. But then I don't know what aspects of Aleister Black's career can he torture him with. Remember that time you were good on the indies? Like, I don't know what you could say to him. What do you you got any ideas for my pitch?
No, I think I got a bit confused. And I thought you were going to do the rematch with Braun doing that. And I was thinking he was going to do some sort of InfoWars thing about, like, should indie wrestlers have a second job? So, and that's all I've got. No, I think Alistair Black should just kick him in the face.
Okay, fair enough.
But I like the idea of more silly stuff and Alistair Black getting a push. So it's a chugga 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 chugga. Ding. Slightly too off-center there. Sorry. There we go. Well, I ruined that. So let's go straight to Ross the Professional.
I'm very much not a professional, but thank you anyway, Matthew. Thank you very much. I'm going to say no me, you know.
Okay.
Because when we get to Bray versus Alistair, somebody's got to lose that. And I don't want anyone, I don't want those two to lose just yet. I think it's a bit, my arse is still sore from The Fiend getting pummeled by Goldberg, so it is. And I don't want that sort of treatment done. I don't know why I said my arse there, but there you go. I don't want that treatment done to Alistair. Because we haven't really seen Alistair do anything on Raw yet. So I want to see him do something before he has a big loss, and I don't want to see that loss come before he does something monumental. Beating jobbers and people like that, yes, it's impressive. It gets a bit repetitive, we all know that. Let him do, I don't know where this is going. Who did he call out on Raw this week? He called out someone, didn't he, with that thing round his neck?
Oh, did he? Oh,
yeah, who was it? I can't remember, my mind's gone blank.
No one remembers, so that was a good sign.
No, I'll Google it, Phil Tynan.
He looks lovely. It was a smoke-filled room. He had a nice little necklace thing
and
on.
He's gone.
Both cameras have disappeared. Oh, there he is.
Hello.
I just worried the cameras went off there for a second. Don't worry about it. Matthew, how are you today?
I'm grand. My camera's still working as we load up the Jackatron 5000, the ridiculously expensive Jackatron.
Speak about those posters behind you, Matthew. You've changed them.
Very specially for this, I have basically a giant pile of posters that I like looking at and keeping and not getting rid of because I'm basically a hoarder at heart. And we have the portrait of a wrestler here with all the UK wrestlers, the Jack the Lads as Clockwork Orange. We have Jack Nicholson from The Shining, who I'm apparently cosplaying as, and Kodama from Chikara.
Oh, did he call
out? That's a Jack the Jobber.
And they pay me this much for that plug. So hello, hey Jack, what are you doing?
From what I could find, he called out AJ Styles.
Yes, that rings a bell.
I see.
Again, well, all three of us watch Raw.
No, I just haven't watched the highlights yet before the podcast. So it's a one yes and a one no for my pitch. I'll take that. Ooh. I think that's all right. And we'll go back to Ross.
I'm going to both Money in the Bank ladder matches. I'm sure all of us are intrigued about what's going to happen in both these matchups. I've done this pitch with the thought that one unpopular winner might happen with, I think Corbin is one of the favourites to win the men's, and I think Nia is one of the favourites to win the women's. So this pitch is with these two potential winners very much in mind. I want Vince McMahon to get involved because Vince McMahon must be behind these people if he's going to let them win the Money in the Bank ladder match. So I want Vince McMahon to basically turn into Dick Dastardly during both match. I want him to sort of usurp, might be the right word, the people who, you know, we want to win, like an Otis or a Bryan for the men's, like, I don't know, for the women's. Pick who you want to win for the women's one.
Asuka.
Asuka, someone like that, yeah. He comes out with oil. He comes out with banana peels. He comes out with all sorts of toys from his office. It's just absolute nonsense, like this match probably would, well, probably will be and should be, in my opinion. Also, the skies, the possibilities are endless in this matchup here. Vince McMahon helping the, because he fancies Corbin. We've all heard this report, hasn't he? So handsome that the women want to go for a drink with him and stuff like that. And I guess he likes Nia's muscles and stuff like that. I went old Boris Johnson there. Muscles. To make the wins potentially of the more unpopular people more palatable, I want to see all sorts of nonsense from Vince McMahon, specifically helping these unpopular people get to the briefcase atop of WWE headquarters. Fill in the blanks there. Matthew, what sort of hilarity do you want to see from Vince McMahon helping King Corbin win the briefcase? I've put him right on the spot.
I don't really care about King Corbin winning because he already blew it the first time. But I do like the idea of Vince McMahon as Dick Dastardly. just planting all the thing, the oil, the stuff. He paints a tunnel and goes, right there. And then Asuka goes through it and goes, no, and goes, how did that happen? And then he runs and knocks his head and then tears both quads again. Yeah, I'm pro Ross's idea again. Jack, what do you think?
I've got two thoughts. Oh, no. One, he needs a Muttley. He needs a sidekick.
Kevin Dunn.
Kevin Dunn. Just giggling and switching cameras.
Stroking his little head.
Yeah. And secondly, just on a more general Wacky Races theme, hasn't it been pointed out before that Dick Dastardly could have easily won any of the races if he'd wanted to? He had the fastest car. He just kept stopping to lay traps. Why did he do that? He could have just won.
Because it's a cartoon for kids. For Christ's sake. Must everything from decades ago be overanalyzed by wankers on YouTube?
I was going to ask. Jesus Christ.
Why couldn't Dick Dastardly win?
I was going to ask who everyone's favourite car was in Wacky Races.
Oh, I've got one.
Go on.
The two cavemen, because they were called the Slags.
The Slag Brothers. Yeah, they were.
They call themselves the Slags.
No, but in terms of it was just to do with rocks. They weren't.
Nah, they were a bit, you know.
Oh.
Got various apps on their phone.
Ross, did you have a favourite?
I've got no idea what it was called, but I was always a fan of the spooky one, the one that went right high at the back. What was that one called? I can't remember. It's been years since I've seen Wacky Races.
Not the Addams Family.
Yeah. I like the Lumberjack and the Beaver. They were good.
Why Slags, are you laughing at beavers?
No. It's a yes. Was it a yes from you, Matthew, for Ross's pitch?
Oh, absolutely. He had me at dick.
Okay. Yeah, he had me at dick as well. So I'm going to go for a yes for that one. And now we'll have Matthew's second pitch.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Oh, goodies. So we go to the Money in the Bank pitch. Even though they're still on TV, that'll be on the roof. I think as soon as the wrestlers are dropped off, obviously they're all blindfolded and whatever, kept in the big van, you know, Vince McMahon announces that he's actually hidden the Money in the Bank briefcase somewhere in Titan Towers. And the independent contractors have to make, like, finders keepers to go look for it. And this results in, you know, lots of walking around and people openly describing their actions, like, I'm going to go through this door and see if it's in the storage cabinet. So it'll be no different to any other Charlotte Flair match. So not only will we get funny moments, like a phone rings, then Asuka will answer it in the sector. He's like, no. And she starts being that crazy language of hers. But we get various cameos from wrestlers earning their money during this current inaction. Like, we see Ashton Smith sat in an office liking, retweeting WWE accounts all day. Velveteen Dream is sending emails that he shouldn't be sending. T-shirt designers Googling how to make shirts less racist. And then there'll be cameos from all those WWE legends they got lying around, like Mike Rotunda, Gerald Briscoe, Fit Finley. I should point out this was written weeks ago. And then finally, Doink the Clown. Actually, it's Apollo Crews, but no one can tell the difference nowadays. And
Wait, please explain that joke.
Because he's a joke.
Okay, that's fine then.
He qualified, okay. He got a push, and then he hurt his leg, and now he's not there.
I'm on the Apollo Crews now, I am. Go on, Apollo. Yes.
I was until their idea...
It's a travesty he's not going to be there on Sunday, Matthew. I feel so sorry for him.
Except don't want to think that's these banana peels. And then after they scurry around and they can't find it, they go, where is it? Vince gets on the tannoy, you know, the towers have, and reveals it actually was on the roof all along.
Oh.
But by the time the mid-cars goes up to the stairs, and it's like rat race, and they get to the ceiling, Jinder Mahal has already arrived via helicopter to grab it and sod off back to the Mishima Zabitsu compound.
Yes, I like that. I
nearly said that properly. And that is my pitch.
Nice.
What do you think, Jack?
I liked the pitch. It was structured like a an after dinner speech with the jokes. This was written weeks ago. Joke was fantastic. So thank you for the presentation of the pitch. I really like it. I'm worried it's similar to my final pitch, but we'll get onto that later on. It's a bit different. Yeah, I like it. As long as when Jinder's like, because I'm picturing it for some reason, it's like all rainy. There's a storm going on at night, and that's when Jinder swoops down, and he's got like a big scarf on. That's how I'm picturing it in my head, anyway. And he laughs as the helicopter flies off.
Yeah, do you think he'll be on the rope ladder, and like yoink, and then this.
But then it sets up the sequel because Brian dives and catches the ladder, and they don't realize, and they fly off with Brian in tow, and that sets up part two. It's a yes from me. I like the idea. And can Vince give like Warriors style updates throughout the match? Like over the tannoy?
Oh, the Warriors. I thought you meant like Ultimate Warrior.
No. Yeah, if he wants to do it like that as well, he can.
Alistair Black is in the basement.
Yeah, no, I like the Warriors updates.
Ross.
All on board. Everything's fantastic apart from that joke about Apollo Crews. How could you be so cruel about Apollo Crews after that horrible injury he went through on Raw last week? But I want Vince McMahon dressed up like the old man on Fort Bayard up in the tower giving the updates.
That's Hornswoggle! All get Hornswoggle in!
His son.
Yes. What was he called? Was he called Dave on Jack. Fort Bayard?
Jack.
No, and I remember this. I remember it's... Because my brother used to think, because he'd always go, ha, ha, Dirty Den would always go, ha, 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 ha. Tell his little assistant, Jack, the door, and he'd open it. And my brother thought that the name of the door was Jack. So is that two thumbs up? I think it is. I'm very happy with that. We now move on to the third round of pitches.
No, it's my second pitch.
Oh, sorry. There we go. I lost my train of thought.
It's all
derailed.
Right.
We went over this.
This one's not a complicated one though, so I can do this quite quickly. Mine's totally the opposite of Ross's first one. I want Bailey to beat Tamina so hard.
How do you hang up on this call? How do you turn this off?
I've got a reason, not just because it's Tamina and she's become a bit of a meme recently. I feel like Tamina's been sort of pushed into this storyline. She's kind of blundering into this storyline that has loads of potential, which is Sasha and Bayley eventually turning on each other and having another big match that we all love. And if Tamina gets involved and wins the belt, then that's all been for nothing. So I want Bayley to beat Tamina, preferably like really fast as well. That would be funny. But I don't mind how it happens. And I think I don't know. I think that it's sometimes nice to have a heel win. Who's the heel in this match?
It's Bayley.
Tamina's now a face, is she?
Always has been in my eyes.
No.
Tamina's been an arsehole. No, Bayley's been an arsehole to Tamina, isn't she? And then Tamina's just like, boof, there you go. I'll kick you in the head. But she would be a babyface completely if they showed these bloody vignettes on SmackDown. I don't know why they're not doing it. baffling. Anyway,
she's the new Zack Ryder.
She is.
So yeah, mine's. I'm not looking forward to the vote on this one, but mine is that Bayley should beat Tamina within seconds. Quick roll up, belly to Bayley, something like that. 1, 2, 3, off she goes. Sorry. What are your thoughts, Matthew?
Where's my nose? What? Is that really your pitch?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. I'm not being overly critical here, but it doesn't make any sense in regards to any storyline. Or is it just because you want Bayley to win?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as you're being honest. Oh no. Well, if I don't approve this one, it means I'm pro Tamina and not pro Bayley, and that would be very bad for my Twitter feed.
Why?
I don't think the SmackDown Women's division right now is any good, and this is something that gets many disagreeable comments, as I've read. So, what do I
is think it from the do? Stands?
They don't like being called that, but yes.
Okay. Oh no. Oh no. They're coming for me now.
Yeah, your deed.
Yeah.
So I'm liking it because I want that clout. Yes, that's right. I am pro clout, so it's a thumbs up from me.
And your clout's increased by 4 points.
Yeah, little stat appeared there.
Yeah. Ross, I'm scared to ask.
No, you can count to hell for this pitch. But on a more serious note, though, I too want a long and varied Triple H versus Shawn Michaels circa 02-04-esque rivalry between Sasha and Bayley. Yes, Matthew, I want it last 2 whole years, all right? But I don't think it needs the title. On a more serious note, I don't think Sasha versus Bayley, the way it's been played out, I don't think it needs the title. So Tamina winning, I don't think it's that big of an issue in terms of Sasha versus Bayley. So no, a double no.
That's a double no. I didn't realise.
Oh, no, he said no twice.
I wasn't expecting like an actual point. I thought he was just going to be angry at me, but he's made a really good point there. So that's annoying. Ross? Let's go to you. Look how happy he is today, man.
Just so happy.
What is your third and final pitch, Ross?
Men's Money in the Bank once again I'm going for. So I've gone 2 pitches for the same match, but this has the winner involved. AJ Styles wins Money in the Bank. The lights go down when AJ Styles wins the Money in the Bank. Mark Calloway appears on the Tron because one of the big... Say what you want about AJ Styles coming back from the Boneyard match. Couldn't give a toss about how silly it is. I just want to know. I want to know how he got out the grave. That's all I want to know. I thought it was a massive detail that they skipped over on Raw this week. And some people got the wrong end. Because I tweeted about it yesterday. And people got the wrong end of the stick going, oh, well, Undertaker can shoot lightning from his arse or whatever. And Kane can do all this. I don't care about the silliness of it all. I just want to know how this mortal man... AJ Styles got out the grave. That's all I want to know. It can be as silly as you like. I just want a reason. So I'm going to give you the reason here in this pitch. Mark Calloway appears on the Tron. He says, Uncle Al, you've done it now. You've gone and made Daddy proud. Boom! Fire everywhere around WWE HQ. Undertaker and or Mark Calloway then says, you've been a good boy, Uncle Al. I'll let you watch my new documentary that's airing on the WWE Network following the Money Bank pay-per-view early. You can have exclusive access. Then the show... Sorry. But then he goes, yeah. But you can give the briefcase to me now. The show goes off the air there and then. That's how we end. You can give the briefcase to me now, Uncle Adam. The show goes off the air. We get to Raw and Undertaker heads for the ring and explains that Alan was let out of the grave by the spirit of the Undertaker, and he's now a dead Mack truck walking.
Oh my God.
Styles is now a zombie. This is what we're seeing. Styles is not a living being. He's just a spiritual thing. He's not a real man. How'd he get out the grave being a mortal man? That's the point I'm making here. He's now part of a ministry, and he's working on behalf of the Undertaker, who is now Mr. Money in the Bank. Where that goes to, I have no idea, but there's my pitch. AJ Styles being a zombie-esque thing working on behalf of the Undertaker. It keeps the Undertaker on TV. I don't want to see too many per year, but we can have more cinematic masterpieces like the Boneyard match was. Later this year, Survivor Series time, one more this year, I don't know. Have that be where he cash in the briefcase somehow, some way. But there you go. I just want a reason for AJ Styles getting out the grave, and that's my reason that I came up with about 10 minutes before we came on the air there.
I'm assuming, just before we get to the actual response to the pitch, I'm assuming that Styles is doing a bit of a Captain Jack Sparrow, where he, in the first Pirates of the Caribbean film, he's legend. There's this whole story about him getting off an island and no one knows how he got off this island. And there's all these myths about, like, oh, he rode two sea turtles to the next island. And it turns out he just waited and got picked up by a boat. I'm guessing the club dug him out or something.
Yeah, maybe they did. Yeah, and in the process, they died or something like that.
Because
they
were from exhaustion, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, that's why we haven't seen them again.
And yeah, so sorry, at the end, who cashes in? He's given the briefcase to Undertaker.
So AJ, we don't know this while the match is going on, but it turns out that AJ Styles has been working and wrestling on behalf of the Undertaker, who is, it is revealed on Raw, to be Mr. Money in the Bank, or at the end of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. That's how the show goes off the air. You can give the briefcase to me now. Thought this out wonderfully, I have.
I'll go Matthew first.
Well, first of all, I thought the whole thing with pitches was to be a bit silly and not to actually predict what WWE are going to do on TV. So I'm in two minds if I should approve of this or not, because I can see this actually happening. Never mind the
can you?
the dick gadgets and all the stuff from before. Like, yeah, that's well thought out and does address some issues. I like the idea of AJ Styles as Undertaker's stand, you know, doing the hard work for him. Yeah. And I want to keep you happy, of course, Ross. We'll see.
You've got it.
Repressed, not depressed. it's an easy. And even better, actually, zombie AJ Styles. You know, will eat your brains, but you have to be Kentucky Fried. I mean, there's so many possibilities. So. Dunna.
Thank you.
I've got to give it a yes as well. I think it's a wonderful story. It's got elements of Hollywood, in my opinion, to it. It's quite cinematic. I'm giving it a yes, but just out of interest, who would Undertaker cash in on?
Oh, I mean, the Bray Wyatt match is what we all want to see in terms of the double, what I call it, the fire bone fun match or something I called it in a tweet after WrestleMania. Amalgamation of the two cinematic masterpieces we saw at WrestleMania 36. That one.
Okay.
There yeah, we go. Well, a Survivor Series, that's what we'll see.
Is that three yeses for you there?
I don't know. I think you said no to Tamina, did you? Or did you say yes? I can't remember.
No, I said yes to it. I said yes.
Get in. I'm so happy.
Matthew, I think, said no. Maybe.
Oh. I said yes to everything. Happy Ross. Happy Ross. Happy life.
Matthew, what's your last pitch?
It's kind of on the same vein, actually. I'm glad that we're on the same thing. Because of the success of the WrestleMania pre-taped Fanny Fest that was Undertaker versus AJ Styles, I think to keep the momentum going, that AJ Styles should die every Super Show.
Like Kenny.
And especially at Money in the Bank, there's so many different ways that this could happen. He could get thrown off the towers and do a flip in midair like it's the TNA Lockdown Super Show. He could, you know, go to shake Sonya Deville's hands and he just melts. And that's just on this show.
Wait, why is Sonya not listening to it?
Because she's gay. Because...
Oh,
because
it's AJ Styles, right.
Such
I forgot we were dealing with AJ Styles here, sorry.
At SummerSlam, he's wrestling Drew McIntyre for the title. He's hit the Styles Clash. He's hit the phenomenal forearm. He's hooked the leg. One, two, and then a bolt of lightning strikes down from the heavens, leaving nothing but a pile of ash and two shoulders that Drew McIntyre then hooked the leg. And every time it looked like that's how the show got off the air. It's just a pile of ash or splayed out AJ Styles, and he just looks at him and he goes, "God dang it." And then the logo appears in the corner, and that's how you know the show's over. And this comes back on Raw, no explanation.
Yeah.
I was this close, before I got Ebola. Damn you, Bray Wyatt, and your Ebola syringes. You know, and I think this will be the next gimmick. And that's
the
pitch.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's a firm yes from me. I love the comic potential of it. I love the suspense, waiting every pay-per-view to see when Styles is going to die. Could it be early on? Could it be late on for dramatic effect? Because sometimes it's got to be really early on just to be funny. You just get to heading to the ring.
Wait, in it too. Oh, never mind. It's just
that shot where they have them walking in the building with their bags. He just gets mowed over by a car or something.
Earlier today, AJ Styles turned into a pizza stain.
It's a yes from me, Ross.
It's a massive yes from me. What? I'm intrigued, Matthew. What would the line from South Park go? They killed Kenny, you bastards, etc., etc. What would the commentary line from WWE be for AJ Styles?
No, I don't think they should oversell it. They should. And AJ Styles died again. After this, stay tuned for a Dairy Queen advert special.
And it's just WrestleMania 15.
Yeah, completely undersold. Like, AJ Styles' spine was ripped out from his head first. Coming up next, Tamina Snuka.
I love that. That's brilliant.
So we're all pro AJ Styles dying. Cool, there we go. Someone add him.
Mine is similar as well, in that it borrows heavily from pop culture, like yours and Ross's both do, sort of. Mine is more in the vein of like, the two Money in the Bank ladder matches are happening simultaneously from what I understand. So that gives us a lovely big cast of characters to work with. And that's why I think that these matches should start off normally with everyone fighting and maybe forming little alliances and staking out different parts of the building. And then it slowly becomes apparent, like it does in like all the best action films in this sort of genre, that it's not a competition. It's a conspiracy of some sort. And obviously Vince McMahon's like the shadowy office figure who's made this into a conspiracy. The part where my pitch falls down is that obviously once all the wrestlers start working together to foil the conspiracy, I don't really know what the conspiracy is, because in my mind it should be that it's not real and it's all a show and there's people watching it, but they know that anyway. So I don't know really where to go from there, but I just like the idea of the winner eventually, probably Daniel Bryan in this scenario, staggering into Vince's office all bloody, slamming the briefcase down and being like, where's my prize? And Vince is like, you fool, there was no prize after all. And he flies off or whatever, and Bryan's got to chase him. I want it to be a Hollywood action. I want it to be like the Hunger Games, where it's all controlled by a shadowy thing. The problem is, and I'm devastated I'm ending the video this way, I don't know what the conspiracy would be. I don't know what... Wrestlers are self-aware anyway.
It's so an insurance scam.
That'll do. There we go. Yes. Yes. The building...
Vince flies out. Building explodes.
Yes, the building's ready to blow. Yeah, that's mine. But I'm devastated that your two pitches were along a similar sort of line, but better, which is a shame. I should have really not kept myself for last. But what are your thoughts?
Well, you've got half an idea, and I'll give you the...
Cheers. Cheers, man. Thank you.
Don't be so down on yourself, Jack.
There's an evil conspiracy, and somehow like the storyline is that WWE is an evil empire. I'm sorry to break it to you, Jack, but they are pretty evil already. Yeah. There's no need for any storyline bollocks. It's and if you don't believe us, you should go on this website called Cultaholic and scroll through the new. Just saying. So I'm gonna give you a half a thumb, and it's what you deserve. But also, you'll get the Street Fighter reference. So yeah, it's all right. I'll meet you later on. Like a proper cultaholic trooper. Nah, you're not getting the thumbs up.
But he turns it at the end. Oh.
Nah. Yeah, well, you have to tune in next week then.
Yeah.
And any excuse to talk about the crazy conspiracies in WWE. So, good. It's a condescending pat on the head from me. What do you think, Ross?
I'm going to go for a yes as well. It just depends what that conspiracy is, isn't it? I reckon we could go down the line of like, Vince McMahon's upset with the bad PR WWE's received after all these releases and furloughs or furlongs or whatever Matthew likes to call them.
So I like my version better.
He's like, oh, we've picked 10 people we want to release, but we don't want to release them the conventional way for fear of bad PR. So let's lock them all in a building at the same time and set that building on fire and just kill them all.
Oh, do the Money in the Bank wrestlers find the released ones in like a room as like hostages? That's a bit dark.
Is that Running Man scene where they go, wait, isn't that Aleister Black? last season's winner. So I goes, last season's loser.
But yeah, I'm on board with the conspiracy because then we can spend the entire summer trying to work it out.
Mm-hmm. Cheers.
Get in.
So after a very undeserved yes vote there, I think, or half yes, that brings us to the end of the nine pitches. Ross, I'll go to you first because you're just so buzzing to be here.
I am beaming.
Are you excited for Money in the Bank this Sunday?
It's the most excited I've ever been for a Money in the Bank pay-per-view. I'm not even being funny either. I just can't wait. After the Boneyard and the Firefly Funhouse match, I can't wait to see what they do with the two briefcase matches. And obviously Tamina ending 10 years of pain or hurt.
Yeah.
Why should retire?
Matthew, are you excited for the show? Do you get excited for wrestling anymore?
Good wrestling, yes.
Okay.
Sadly, due to the lockdown, I have been enjoying what's known as normal TV a lot more than I usually have. And I've been reminded about the glory that is things like The Last Dance, the Alabaster Arc of One Piece, and all the other great things that are on TV. Yes, loving it.
Isn't Michael Jordan a fascinating... Sorry, we'll get onto this later on.
I mean,
it's not.
But this is the point. It turns out, outside of wrestling, where things are normal, it really sucks if you bother to pay attention to these things. And then try watching WWE, and you're like, oh, this is crap. Mm. Oh, so no, Money in the Bank is just for taking the mick out of. I do not care about WWE at all right now. I am formulating these opinions and thoughts just for content. I put more thought and attention in which poster is going to put up for this than I do about anything Money in the Bank related. Herb Abrams has just had a documentary about himself on Vice. Screw WWE. Screw all wrestling. Boo.
Screw wrestling. The message there from
Matthew. It should be a good show. Should be a good show. I'm looking forward to the tag title match. Yeah.
That's fair. Ross, have you got anything to plug before we say our goodbyes?
No, I'm just appreciative of all the efforts WWE go to in the midst of this global pandemic.
Matthew, anything to plug? I noticed there was a new Botchamania out.
Yeah, there is.
I've not watched it yet, but I'm going to soon.
Is that how it is? But Isaiah Thomas, right?
Yeah, oh God, it's so good. Anyway, the Gustavo Fring of The Last Dance. Anyway.
Oh, nice, nice.
It's not my reference, I saw it on Reddit. Thank you very much for watching our nine pitches video for Money in the Bank. I've been Jack from Cultaholic.com. Thank you to Matthew and Ross for joining us as well. Ross is so happy to be here.
Happy, Ross.
Look out for all of our coverage of Money in the Bank this week and in the aftermath of the show. Enjoy the show, which is, of course, on Sunday, and we'll see you very soon.
Bye, guys!
Bye!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.